What's good, everyone? Welcome back to My First Kicks. This is episode 166, and this week I welcome Winona Kicks to the podcast. Now, if you aren't familiar with Winona Kicks, I'm pretty sure you are, because he is all over your social medias. If you're into any sneakers or any type of lifestyle content creation, you have come across Winona Kicks, aka Charlie, or Charlie, aka Winona Kicks content. And I mean, it's great content in terms of just getting to the point, showing you the cool stuff, and then giving you all the information you need from just specific luxury items or sneakers, mainly sneakers, of course, sneakers, which is what we're here to talk about. So before we jump into the episode, wanted to give a shout out to everyone who's been listening to this podcast since episode one. And if you're new, welcome to the party. You've got 165 episodes to go back on and check out. But if you've been here since, I want to say, episode 20, next week, got a treat for you. If you looked at my story, you saw me and Iffy linked up. So there's not going to be an intro on the next week. So you're going to get basically the half and half intro here, as I'm going to be putting out clips for that. Putting out clips for this, it's going to be a jam-packed editing session for your boy. So hopefully you check it out. If you're new, definitely stick around. And thank you for jumping in on Charlie's episode. We talk about how you got into sneakers, how you started creating content, the idea of competition, which I feel like we need more of in this space and we need to accept it. But we touch on it a little bit, get his thoughts, because he's such in such a competitive space. And you listen, if you listen to the Rainy episode, I don't know if I consider myself a content creator. I know I make content. I know I put out content, but I don't put it out in the efforts of or the frequency as someone like a Charlie or someone like Seth who posts constantly, or AD Sneaks or JSM or Morgan or Flex. Like, anybody that I've had on here that's a content creator puts out constant content more than me, and I'm not consistent. Even though I try, I just, as I said in Rainey's episode, I find it boring. I find it hard to just continuously think of topics to put out, because I don't want to continuously just do a sneaker review video, or I don't want to just not be able to tell one story of a sneaker, and it just doesn't resonate. So then I have to keep making it until it does resonate. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to water down something that I love. So to me, because I know that in the efforts of getting it out into the mainstream, getting the algorithm to love it, getting all these little tricks that, you know, Dre always pushes on me, I don't have the patience for it. I just want to sit down, have a conversation with, you know, my new friends, people that I've been talking to on the internet for years, or even new people that I've been following, and people that I just stumble up upon, or people who find my podcast and want to jump on an episode. Like, I just want to have that. And I feel like this is my lane. So along with the short essays that I have, short video essays that I will be putting out, keep teasing it. I appreciate every single one of y'all for listening and for checking me out. If this is your first time, you got a lot to catch up on. So on to where you can find Charlie. You can find him at Winona Kicks. Also, check out him and Seth's podcast, Behind the Sneakers. It's Beyond Kicks podcast. Wow, I butchered that. I'm so sorry, guys. Beyond Kicks podcast. You know, it's funny because we talk about how I want to get on an episode. It's I jagged that up. I'm so sorry. Beyond Kicks podcast. It'll be everything for where you can find Charlie, or you can find the podcast, will be in the description of this podcast. And of course, you know where to find me. I am Who Is Hoss on all social media. Follow the podcast at My First Kicks Pod on Instagram and the Twitter. Follow the podcast on TikTok with My First Kicks before it's gone. We'd love to get that to 1,000 before it disappears, or I don't know what's happening with that, whatever. And then My First Kicks on YouTube. Please, please, please. I plead every week. I plead every week. Pull up to the YouTube. If this is your first time listening, just hit me with the subscribe. Por favor. Just a little subscribe. I'm trying to get up there. I'm trying to push out the content on there. Long form video content is tough. It's tough to put out every week and then get 5 views. So please hit me with the subscribe. I will greatly appreciate it. And of course, if you have not yet, leave a review. If you're listening on Apple, you can give me 5 stars on Spotify or anything that, I mean, if you find somebody rating the podcast, just hit it up with a little 5 star on there too. And share it with all your friends, please. All right, enough pleading. On to this week's guest, Winona Kicks. Hey, Charlie, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
No, man, look, I think it's hilarious because, well, it's hilarious. I did not expect you to ever follow me. That was one. and then when I saw you follow me, I was like, okay, you know, let me not immediately ask. And then I waited a little bit and now we're here.
No, I like it. I'm probably too active on social media. That's just part of the game. But I mean, I'm never opposed to hopping on other people's podcasts. We do a podcast, Seth and I. And mm-hmm. So we know the grind. I'm in the same space as you. So I'm always open to it.
No, yeah. I mean, I bothered Seth all the time about, like, yo, just get me on an episode, man. I want to get on an episode. Fair enough. But I mean, you guys don't really do like an interview or you know, like you guys do
it's something we've kind of put on the radar again for this year. We had a few last year, but we just have not, scheduling conflicts. I mean, we have some pretty good connections. That would be fun. It'd be fun to have you on. So I think it's definitely something we're going to kick back up once he gets back from vacation, but who knows?
That man's globetrotting right now. I think where is he now?
He took a vacation with his girlfriend to Paris, actually.
Paris, that's what it was. I was about to say Greece. That's all I was just like.
Yeah, no, it'd be nice to be there too.
But for people who aren't familiar with you, or my listeners who aren't familiar with you, how about you introduce yourself?
Yeah, so I am Charlie, otherwise known as Winona Kicks on all my socials. I've been collecting sneakers for actually not super long, about 4 years now. And that whole time I've been posting content about it on mainly TikTok and Instagram. And I actually got a YouTube video going out tomorrow. So everywhere, basically, just been covering that journey and been very fortunate to get connected with some really cool companies along the way and reviewing shoes and meeting some pretty cool people. So it's just been a fun content journey for the last couple of years.
No, yeah. I mean, you do a specific take on your content. You know, you wear sneakers for 30 days you do your, you know, what's coming out. And it's I'm not a person who makes that kind of content because I kind of like to shy away from that stuff. But
everyone's got their own lane.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, if I scroll by your videos, I am looking at it. So
I appreciate it.
No, yeah, yeah. But you're here to answer the question. And that question is, what's your first kicks? What's that first pair of sneakers you absolutely need to have?
So you asked me this and I was kind of giving it some thought. I actually have 2 different pairs. So it doesn't make sense for the first pair, but I have 2 different pairs, 2 different kind of stories about it. So I started collecting shoes kind of by accident. I was freshman in college. So I just graduated this past spring. I got to go back now. It feels like a long time ago now, but I was a freshman in college. I was broke like everyone. And in high school and stuff, I was big into flipping stuff, like buy a PS4 and sell it and make $50. I'd buy golf clubs because I'm a golfer and do the same thing. And Apple Watches and anything that I could make a couple bucks on in Facebook Marketplace while I'm not working at college. And just kind of skating by, and I bought a pair of Air Force One Jewel Sales for $50. They were brand new. And I sold them for $120 in like 8 hours on Facebook Marketplace. And I was like, ooh, this is kind of nice. So I'd always followed shoes. I'd never bought any shoes.
Yeah.
Just couldn't afford it in high school and stuff, and just never would shell out $100, $150 for a pair of shoes, which is crazy saying that now. But it's just part of the journey. So basically, started reselling. That's how I got into the hobby, and then I ended up kind of taking the social media route instead. And during the reselling journey, the I was selling everything from Nike Roshis to Free Runs to not really retro Jordans. It just still it was like there's 100 pair, 20 pairs for sale of like somebody's old shoe collection Converse. Like get them for $50, clean them up was a big part, and then flip them for $5 extra per pair and whatever. But there was one pair that I always wanted, and it was kind of the first Jordan that I was like, "Ooh, this is pretty cool." And it was the Jordan 4 What Does. I think they came out in 2017.
Yeah.
And it was a pair that was my first big splurge, which I hadn't had yet. And I got it for $140 used, which is like, that was a lot, man. That was like, ooh, $140.
It is wild. It is wild when you spend that first like hundred or couple hundred and you're like,
oh yeah,
it's so like, you're like, I don't know if I could do this. And then you do this and you're like, I could do this again.
It's like a drug. I mean, that's exactly how it is. And now it's ramped up significantly, and I never want to lose sight of like how crazy it's gotten. I mean, it's just when you're in the content game, I mean, stuff, especially if it pops off and stuff, the whole thing. I mean, Seth has gone through it in the last month where going to All-Star break and Adidas and like stuff gets out of hand quickly. And so yeah, $140, I never want to lose sight of that. It was always like crazy, and I still have the pair to this day. And so fast forward a couple months, started collecting, was doing social media. I got a job doing social media for a power sports company here in Minnesota, and I still do that as well.
What's that? I don't know what that is.
So power sports, like ATVs, UTVs.
I thought that was just like called like off-roading or something like that. Like yeah, off-road sports or something like that. Whole, okay.
Like motorsports are like sport bikes and F1 and NASCAR and dirt bikes. And then power sports are like the fun segment of it. So that's just kind of the broad term of it. And so I still do that full time now. Keeps me paying the bills. I'm married and stuff. We have a house. So I got to. Content isn't always there, so
listen, so you're not the only one. I work in advertising. I got a 9 to 5. Yeah, like
no, it's a grind. I mean, that's how it is for everyone, and especially in the content game where, I mean, you live and die on brand deals essentially, and you can go in full time and do the whole thing, but if you're dry for 6 months, I mean, it's basically sales. I'm selling myself to businesses, so that's basically just part of the game. So. Yeah, so I was collecting shoes, and I made a transition. I was reselling shoes. At the end of it, I sold like 100 pairs in a month, so it was going really good. And then I got a job doing social media, so I stopped reselling, and I was going to transition my content over the next 6 months to everything else that I do now, wear tests, news, reviews mainly, and stuff like that. And so it kind of, over the summer, just ramped up, and then there was a drop called the Jordan 1 Mocha, the original one that came out. That was like, ooh, this is insane. And brown's one of my favorite colors. I'm wearing a brown shirt right now. And I just have always loved neutral tones. And I remember that was right at the height of COVID. It was right, I think it was at the height of COVID, but it was one of the times, it was because I was at college. Yep. I was at the height of COVID. And Jordan 1s were super popular, and they were already reselling for like $500-$600, which is crazy now because everything's under retail, and that's just that's the cycles. But it was one of those shoes that I was like, I need to get these. I don't want to shell out $400 or $500 for them because that's crazy, but I need to get them. So entered a bunch of raffles, and when I was going to school in Winona, Minnesota, that's where I got the name. At Winona State, it's in southern Minnesota on the right hand side, and if you look at a map. And you look at North Dakota, South Dakota on the left, and then Wisconsin's on the right. I was entering raffles everywhere. There's no Foot Lockers, Champs, nothing down there. It's in the boonies, basically. And so I don't even know how it worked out, but basically I was entering Foot Locker raffles, and I hit a retail pair. And it was like 8 a.m. drop day that I got a notification, and it said that the drop was for Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which was 4 hours away.
Yeah, it sounds so far.
Yeah, I didn't even know. Like, usually you got to be in a certain type of radius, but I don't know what the deal was. So basically, I called the store. I had class that day. I had a full day scheduled. I called them. I'm like, hey, I live 4 hours away. can I drive there? And like, I got a 4 hour, like, can you hold this pair for me? And like, not back door, basically. And they're like, yes, mm-hmm. we'll hold them for you. So I was literally in the car on the way to the store when I called them. And so I drove 4 hours there, got there at like 2 o'clock, mm-hmm. picked the pair up, drove right back. It was like 4.5 hours. It was a 9 hour day. And I bought them, and that was like the whole day. And it was one of the crazy things. And it actually worked out pretty well because the Jordan 1 High metallic gold, the patent leather one was dropping, and they had early pairs like a month before. And so my reseller brain was like, all right, let me get like 5 pairs of these.
Yeah, let me scoop up those. Yeah.
So I made like $400 on the trip and made a video out of it. And it was just a lot of driving, but I still got that pair too. So I had to, that's one of my fun sneaker stories that I had to toss in there too. That was the first Jordan 1 that I hit for retail, which is pretty fun.
No, yeah, that's a good one, because I'll be honest, like, I was one of those people that would just, I didn't think it would go crazy. I thought it would be one of those shoes that would sit, right?
Yep.
But I wasn't taking into account how big the Travis Scott was, right? And so
that, like, was a big part of it.
Yeah, the spillover. Yeah. And so Nike or Jordan really hit it on the head right there, because after that, it just took off after that. And it's
exactly.
It's like, it's really hard for, I guess, I don't know. I'm one of these people that, like, I buy the sneakers and I buy them for me. So I don't think about the market value, or like, it's more of like, if I'm going to get rid of sneakers or something like that, it's like because I have to, mm-hmm. or like I'm not wearing them anymore, so I don't really care. Like, if I can get top dollar for them at this chance or whatever, then it's just luck of the draw to me. Not like, oh, I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, these are the market trends, now I can sell. Like, I don't do that. I don't do any of that.
Yeah, I mean I think I'll always have the hustle reseller brain on me a little bit. Like, if there's drops that I know are going to resell for couple $100 over, whatever, I'll go for them. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, now it's a content game too for me, where it's, if it's a drop that's probably going to do well afterwards in the aftermarket, then it's probably going to make good content as well. Mm-hmm. The stuff that I actually wear purely, I mean I'm buying it to wear it, colors that I like that I'll wear all the time, like the Asics I've been posting, the Earls collection I just got, love them, worn them a few days now in a row, and I just got them. That was a pair that I bought purely for me, and maybe I'll post a video on them, but I mean, they're going for retail. I mean, it's a different game now than it was too. I mean, everything was reselling. I mean, remember the Jordan 1 High Biohacks, how ugly those were?
Dude, I walked into
buying as many pairs of those as I could, because they were going for $350. Like, that's the ugliest shoe ever, but it, like, that's the game it was.
I actually really like them, right? So I walked in. Yeah, I like them because I like crazy colors. Like, I'm a crazy color wear guy, person, whatever.
That's
So I go into, because I live in New York. So in New York, there's this area called Roosevelt Avenue, and it's like a predominantly just like different mixes of races type of like area. And so there's some sneaker stores, but the sneaker stores, they look like retail sneaker shops, but then you go in and you realize, oh no, they're just making up prices on these sneakers. So I walk in and I'm like, oh, I want the BioShocks or whatever, Biohazards, whatever they're called. And then I go in and I look at them and I'm like, yeah, man, these are dope. And then doesn't have a price on it. And I'm like, yo, you got these in a 13? And then the guy's like, he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he said it in broken English, but oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So he goes to the back, pulls them out, shows them to me, and just like, 500. I was like, 500? I was like, no, hell no. That's crazy. So I never was able to get a pair. I probably should look and see if I get, because I actually like them. All right, I might be in the minority.
Get a pair for a price now. I would be surprised if they were still going for over. I mean, it was just, that was TikTok and the Jordan 1s, and it was a fun era, man. I miss it.
I mean, well, let's go a little bit more back. Like, did you grow up in Winona? Is it called
Winona? No, so I grew up in north of the Twin Cities in Minnesota. So I'm born and raised in Minnesota, but I mean, like I said, I never was into shoes. I just, it was never, I mean, I grew up 2008 housing crisis. That's what it was. I mean, we were well off, but we weren't well off where we're going to buy $150 shoes. I mean, that my basketball shoes were Under Armour, and that was before Curry was there, so they were not very cool. And they were $60, and that was like, all right, I got some $60 basketball shoes. This is dope.
Yeah.
But I mean, I remember one pair that was like really cool when I was growing up was the Reebok Zigtex.
The Zigzags, yeah.
And those were like $75, and I was like, damn, I got a really expensive pair. Like, this is cool. I took care of them. But again, I never want to lose sight of that, because now it's, I mean, there's stuff coming in almost every day from companies and stuff, and really cool stuff. That's, I mean, that's just, I don't know. It's wild to me. I mean, the whole thing is just crazy.
what is like Minnesota culture? Cause like for me, my brain goes to, I don't know. I was getting a lot of shit for this recently, but I like Minnesota hip hop a lot. So, you know, like, I mean, I used to listen to a lot of Doomtree and like Rhymesayer stuff and stuff like that, like Atmosphere.
Right.
And you know, like I always wanted to go to Paid Dues so bad, and it's in Minnesota, but like I never took that trip up there. But like, what were your influences and growing up? And I know, you know, you got into sneakers later, but like, what were you into, and like, how did that like expand your interest?
Yeah, so I grew up, I mean, it was sports for me. Gotten out a little out of shape in college and stuff, working on it now. But growing up, it was hockey, and then I transitioned to basketball. Big into basketball, still am. Mm-hmm. I mean, I review basketball shoes all the time.
Yeah,
like to hoop just for fun. It's cheap. It's a fun activity. And then I was huge into golf. Golf was the big one for me. My dad's a Minnesota PGA pro at a course, and
wow.
Grew up playing junior tournaments and played in middle school and high school, and I've probably played in a couple hundred tournaments in my life, which is quite a bit for
what's your handicap
now. What was that?
What's your handicap?
Like a 5, 6, 7.
I mean, I just know how to ask that. I don't know what it means.
Yeah. So basically the handicap's like par 72 on a course. You got 4 shots to get it in a hole. That's par 4. I'm high 70s, low 80s. So I mean, I just like golf, and so that golf is it's fun because it's expanded. Golf and sneakers are really becoming one in the last couple of years, which has been super fun to see. So I got some fun series planned for this summer where I'm playing and trying out some golf shoes and stuff. So yeah, it was just basically sports growing up.
No, that's dope. I mean, right now you got, especially, well, was it 2008? Was KG still on the Wolves in that time? I don't think so, right? No, he was in
2008.
Yeah, he was Boston at that time, right?
He was Boston, and then he came back for a little retirement.
Yeah, deal. A little retirement, but
that was like Kevin Love. That was Kevin Martin, Gorgui Dieng, like. Not a good era for us, but it was.
but Kevin Love was averaging like 30 rebounds a game, though.
He was a beast. He was a beast on a scrub team. That's what it was. But I mean, that's what all our sports teams have been for my whole lifetime.
Look, you got something to look forward to with the current. Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, AE or Anthony Edwards has been just, I think he's currently up there. I mean, my favorite player is Dame, right? My favorite non-Nick player, right? Because I'm a Nick fan. So is Dame. And then right under that definitely has to be Anthony Edwards. Like the way he's been balling out and the way he treats the game
is to watch.
Yeah. It's so much cool. It's so much. Like, I like seeing competition again. And I mean, like, I get a lot of shit for this too, because I always think that, you know, we've like come to this era where everybody's cool with each other at one point, where, and like we came out of the era.
There's no
of like,
bad blood. There's no bad boy Detroit Pistons. There's no, I mean, Oakland Raiders. I mean, there's no, I get what you're saying. And I think it's probably a part of what we're doing. Social media. I think everyone sees everyone. Everyone talks to everybody. There's doing YouTube videos with each other. I mean, that's part of it. But Anthony Edwards is definitely, he's got that competitive side. And I think it's part of the fact too, like some of the big stars like Luka and Jokic, and I mean, they're fun loving guys that are European. I mean, they just kind of have fun and they just kind of almost half ass it, but they're mm-hmm. insane at basketball that they can do that. But it's not like Jordan and Isaiah Thomas going at it back in the late mm-hmm. 80s, early 90s, and Larry Bird, Matt. Like, it's different now. I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. Or even, like, I mean, now the feud I'm looking at, because I recently was listening to something, and I don't remember, but it's Chet and Wemby don't like each other. So I've been like, here we go. No, like, let's go.
And Chet's a Minnesota guy, too. So it's got that connection there. I actually was able to meet him at a sneaker con in Vegas year or two ago. Mm-hmm. Big guy. He's put some muscle on and stuff. But I mean, him and Wemby, the NBA is in a good spot because I take it you're an NBA fan too.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I take it it's just in a good spot. There's a lot of young talent that's mm-hmm. exciting to look for. Wemby, Chet, Anthony Edwards. I mean, there's a good young core. LeBron's been carrying it for 20 years, still mm-hmm. is. I mean, that's just what it is. But I mean, Luka and Jokic and Giannis, they're kind of, I don't know, they just don't have the, it's hard to put a finger on it and like pick an actual word to say it, but they don't have like an it, like they don't have the out there all the time. They don't have Anthony Edwards and saying he's got the best shoe and the advertising mm-hmm. behind it and a company really getting behind them like Adidas is with Anthony Edwards.
Right.
I mean, they had his shoe night launch at Timberwolves Arena. Like, it's different. Like, it's very Jordan era. And I don't know if I'm just a big Jordan fan. I am, but I don't know.
I mean, Jordan. No, I get what you're saying. I think Jordan is the mold that every brand tries to recreate, especially when it comes to something like a signature shoe, until you get like, you know, shift like tastemakers or, you know, I don't know, shifters. I don't know, what is it? They're called like disruptors, I think, in the
entrepreneurial
world.
Yeah,
I can't do it either. But it's like, you know, people like Kanye or Jeremy Lorenzo who just, you know, they get these chances to make their own signature model and then build
it's
around
out of the box.
It. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. But when it comes to like signature models, when it or PEs and player editions and player signature shoes, it's totally just trying to replicate what Jordan did. And mm-hmm. right. Or like even the 90s basketball era where Nike just dominated so much and continued to just put out different types of sneakers that pushed the boundaries. You know, I talked mm-hmm. about it with my episode with Nick DiPaola because, you know, he's covered basketball sneakers for so long that he's like wondering, like, you know, what is the next tech? And then Anthony Edwards comes out with his shoe and he's literally talking shit about other brands. And at the same time, mm-hmm. vaguely, because allegedly, or I don't know, I don't want to get sued either. But
no, I get what you're saying. I mean, it's fun. The banter is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be some. I mean, that's what sports are. It's mm-hmm. competition. You have rivalries. That's the whole fun. And if everyone just has a shoe and everything's holly jolly and. You got to have a storyline to it. And that's what I think they've really done to it. The Anthony Edwards and the AE1 is they've put a story to it.
Especially
in the launch where, I mean, we could even go into Devin Booker's shoe where mm-hmm. it's been kind of a flop. And he even thinks that great mm-hmm. shoe, big company, Nike. It's just, I don't know what it is about Adidas basketball right now, but they're doing it. They're crushing it.
They're crushing it. The D-Book, I really enjoy the shoe, but it doesn't look like a basketball shoe to me. Mm-mm. Right. Like,
which I get. I mean, he's a very fashion-centric guy. He's got classic cars. I mean, I watched his GQ home tour. Like, he's very into the culture and art and, like, that whole side of it. And so he's been quoted saying he wants to make a mix of a Jordan 1 and a performance basketball shoe, which everything you look at on the court basically is a performance basketball shoe. You're not going to wear it with a pair of jeans like you would maybe a KD 4 or whatever back in 2010, but mm-hmm. I mean it and the Anthony Edwards, you can wear it like on the street. It's a little harder because it's very performance based, but mm-hmm. I mean the Book 1, I have a YouTube video dropping tomorrow where I talked about that and talking about recent pickups, but that I'm not gonna wear it on the court. I got a pair, I'm gonna be wearing them out and about, and so I don't know how they perform on the court. I haven't seen any reviews on it, but honestly, I think of it more as a street shoe. So that's probably the disconnect, where really tying it into basketball is tough on that model, but I don't know. I'm curious to see the future of it. That's for sure.
Me too. I mean, look, if you're listening to Adidas, you probably are. Send me a pair, you know.
Fair enough.
Send Charlie a pair too. We'll do a pickup game, and we'll invite Nightwing from Wear Testers in, and we'll do it. We'll do a game of 21.
Speaking about Wear Testers, I just saw another interesting angle of this whole basketball shoe era is Kyrie, Anta, and these Chinese brands that are coming. I mean, Jokic's shoe, Austin Reeves' shoe. I mean, that's a whole nother angle of it where they're really pushing themselves into the market big time. And it's fun because it's the basketball shoe era. It's a new thing right now that, I mean, Chinese brands, I mean, we just don't have that competition in the U.S. And a company that I've worked with, Kicks Crew, their whole mission is to bring Chinese basketball shoes to the U.S. And Kyrie's new shoe, I've seen a lot of promo behind that. And I saw that they had a pair.
And I think I will be getting a pair as well.
I might have to, too. I'm just curious to check it out. I mean, I've reviewed a lot of Way of Wades and Lee Nings and the AR ones. I haven't checked out any Anta stuff, but the quality of materials on that stuff's always been really good, and the retail price has not been crazy. Some of the Way of Wade stuff gets out of hand, but
because he wants to add, like, I don't know, Terminator 3 technology into it, and it's all like lacing, quick lacing, and over here that's what Way of Wades will usually look.
Let's push the boundaries of this whole thing. I mean, we already see $200 retails for a 40-year-old basketball shoe in the Jordan 1, like $120 for some crazy technology if they up it by $50 and put it.
I brought it up on TikTok, but people disagreed with me because they think you can ball in any shoe. And I believe that retro Jordans, you cannot ball in at a certain point unless it's specifically made to ball. But that we've
very uncomfortable compared to today's standards. It's basically like taking a brand new Ford Raptor off-roading or taking a old Jeep Wrangler from the 70s off-roading. Like the standards are completely different. It's going to be very uncomfortable. Yeah. I've balled in Jordan 1s. It's not fun. I mean, even like in the Last Dance show, they had, I think it was Jordan's last game or something like that.
He brought out the Chicago's.
And he was like, my feet are bleeding. Like, this sucks.
But it's like, so, I mean, I have this book behind me, if you see it right there. It's Russ Bengston's History of Basketball in 15 Sneakers. Really good book. Check it out. But he talks about the evolution of basketball sneakers. And to me, it's like, I think there's a point where Jordan just stopped advancing the tech. Like, they're not, besides Zoom Comforts, which I still feel like are just, they're just adding in some extra padding and being like, here you go. Like, you know, like, just like, here you go. But when it comes to like older retro sneakers, they're strictly lifestyle sneakers, right? And
they completely transitioned their whole mindset. And he might have balled in them, but I mean, you're not seeing people playing Jordan 4s, but you're seeing them all over the street. That's why they do 2 million or 2 billion in revenue every year. I mean, they made that change, but yeah, but then you go performance basketball shoes are not very good looking in everyday life.
Neither are running, like, good running shoes, right? I don't think,
I think it's gotten to the point where the technology and the designs have started to split in the 80s and 90s were really the point before they were splitting. And so when they split and the technology gets out of hand and you have to have different side panels for support when you're making cuts on the basketball court, doesn't look good on an everyday shoe. Or I mean, even some of the new Alphafly running shoes are super thick looking, they're super light, that's why we're getting record marathon times. But there was a split where the performance and the design kind of left each other from like a New Balance or something that you're wearing every day.
I mean, a lot of that definitely is partly in is in part because of sneaker culture, where they adapted these shoes into lifestyle shoes. And if they're just selling, they don't really put in the amount of tech that would need to bring this shoe up to what people are normally using to walk for hours and hours a day, or run hours and hours a day, or to jump on a basketball court. So then that gets shifted to the next, who's ever like the next basketball player that's coming out, right? Or the next runner, or or the next running model. And a lot of the previous models that were being just excessively used for just everyday wear doesn't get that same I guess magnifying glass to enhance it. So that's where we're at now, I think, for sure. Like a lot of the stuff that, I mean, you mentioned it, and a lot of the stuff that we're looking at coming out now is either very bright, or, you know, like if, for example, Tatum's, right? Tatum's technology is the most recent Jordan technology, and all his colors are crazy, right? Or and it's like, what are we doing? And I don't understand that, but like, we're also just we know what are lifestyle sneakers versus what are performance sneakers. And I think now we're back in that. I feel like the biggest comparison that I can make is like when ASICS was starting to push Gel Light 2s and do, like, you know, Ronnie was doing all his thing, Gel Light 2s, Gel Light 3s, Gel Light 5s. And then you'd go to a regular store and look at ASICs that are on the wall, and they're all ugly, crazy color ASICs. But they're like, oh, but if you really want to run in these, you have to run in these. You can't run in a Gel Light 2. So, yeah.
No, and I think with the signature shoes, like Tatum's, we've seen with the Booker where he had a lot of insight into the design and the colorways and stuff, and we've seen some cool PEs, but I don't know how much of an influence like Tatum has on the colorways. I know Kevin Durant's got like the Aunt Pearls and the PB&Js, and like he's got stories behind them, and I don't know if Anthony Edwards has any huge, like, I mean, we've only seen a few colorways yet, but like the Stormtrooper is the best of Addy's, like, all white colorway. I don't think he's like, oh, I need an all white colorway, but like
he's a big Circus Peanuts fan for the first one. He was like, I love me some Circus. That's what he snacks on in the middle of games.
Yeah, so that makes sense in the first one. But then it's
I'm just kidding. That's not the story.
I mean, it's because then it gets down the line, and like, I don't think Michael Jordan had a say in like the Jordan 8, like some random colorway. Like, I think it progresses where it's like, all right, we're just going to keep pumping these out. But yeah, and on the basketball courts too, it's interesting because, I mean, Devin Booker's going at it a different angle, and Anthony Edwards, I mean, you can wear him on the street more, but like the more bright it is on the court when you're actually watching a game on TV, like when Anthony Edwards was wearing his All-Star AE1s and we were at the game, like everyone else has got black and white shoes and he's got those iridescent purple and green under the stadium lights, they looked insane.
Yeah, and those are like fire. I want them.
And that's all of the shoe, but I don't know. It's everything splitting off.
I mean, you're like in it versus, you know, me, but like I'm just on the outside looking in, and the idea of, I don't know how, because like we know how, like growing up watching basketball, we know how sneakers were sold, right? Then it was just like team color, you know, mainly team colors, black and white. And then we had that like crazy.
You walk into an outlet, you just pick out a pair of shoes that's in your budget.
Yeah, exactly. And so now we're at this era where all the basketball players get to wear whatever they want. They get the ball in whatever they want. There's
Jordan couldn't even wear Jordan 1 Breads. Like they were banned from the, like it's completely different now.
So, I mean, we're at this evolution where sneakers are definitely, I consider sneakers mainstream. I don't know if many people 100%. Do, but I think so. And, you know, I'll hard pivot into you jumping onto social media, but like, what was your, I guess, what pushed you to be like, you know what, I could get in front of a camera.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a funny story. I've always kind of like done social media. I had a YouTube channel when I was 10 years old making Madden mobile videos when that was huge, and I was grinding that, and I had like 5,000 subs on YouTube. I had a video with 500,000 views on how to like snipe cards in the auction house. Like, I've been trying to do the social media stuff for a while. I made a golf page called Flushy Golf that I just posted, feed posts. I think it's still alive too. I did that 5-6 years ago. And I was doing that in college, just digging around with graphic design, learning how to do that because I was going to school for digital advertising. Mm-hmm. And started reselling shoes, and I just made a shoe page to sell shoes. I think it was Charlie Sneakers start off, and it was just for like family and friends to buy shoes if they wanted to. And I got a comment from somebody random, and it, I mean, if they never commented, I don't think I'd be doing it, but it was, how do I ship shoes? Because I kind of, once you get into shoes, you get a method down, 14 by 10 by 6 box, 4 pounds, like get a label printer. So I just made a video on that, and then I got another comment on how to do this, and so I just kind of progressed on that, and it was reselling first and talking about shoes. And then I was trying to do viral stuff like, here's the best shoes under $150, here's the best Jordan 4s under $200, and those did super well. So I ran with that for a while, and then Wade lacing up videos, those did crazy, 30-40 million views on TikTok. Those went insane. They popped me off. And then the wear tests, and so it's just been kind of a natural progression. Once something hits, you run with it. And so now it's 4 years down the road. It feels like a long time, but I feel like I'm just getting my footing. And Seth and I talk about this all the time where it's, I mean, I feel like tomorrow is the first day I ever started posting videos, and I like finally have like an identity and like what I'm doing day to day. And I, it'll never be perfect, I don't think, but just the processes of actually doing it changes. And now it's like 4 or 5 years down the road, it's, feels like it's just starting. So it's a fun journey. I mean, I love it.
I mean, as long as you love the process, then, you know, you can see it through the videos and stuff like that. When it, because I've never been able to experience the 30-40 million views. So
it's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it was when I posted, it was just, it was one of the Wave Wade, I don't even know the pair, Wave Wade eights. With the boa lacing, and it was just got my camera, I filmed it, it was cool, I had some cool sound effects, it was like 10 seconds long, and posted it, went to the gym, got home, and had like a million views. I was like, holy. And so then it was refreshing. It was like just getting 5,000 people like over dinner, like, and it was like, it was insane. And then it went 30 million on Instagram and 30 million on Facebook. I mean, it altogether for Wave Wade, I think I have like 150 million views. So you're welcome, Wave Wade.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, like, they didn't hit you up and be like, yo, you know.
So I did, I don't know, I did a couple of deals for a few $100, got sent a few pairs of shoes. And I basically got to the point where it was like, I got you 150 million views. And maybe this is me being cocky or whatever, but it was basically like, I got a ton of views. Like, your brand is growing a ton. Like, I've connected you with people that I know in the community. Like, there's, like, people that I know that I introduce you to, and they wouldn't pay me anything over a couple $100. And I was like, I'm doing deals with other companies for a lot more, and I have the reputation with you. And they basically were like, you're too hard to work with. We're not going to work with you anymore, which is
That's crazy,
in my opinion. So
that's
crazy. I've been with a few years now. But, I mean, I'm very great. I mean, the money's something, but the growth from it, I'll always be super thankful for the shoes and like them sending them over in the first place. Like, awesome, blessed, like launched me in the shoe world, I think, a lot. But part of it's too, like, if I'm selling my hats and I send one to Seth and he posts a video and it gets 100 million views and I just sold 30,000 hats, I'm going to give him a lot of money for it.
Yeah. Like,
that's my mindset with it. But part of it was language barrier with the Chinese company too. It was just tough, and I don't know, it just didn't work out. I'd love to work with them again, but I don't know, just wasn't the right timing, I guess.
I don't think they understood your gravity.
I don't think so. But I know their sales went up because I was getting DMs all the time on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok of people like, oh, I just bought these, like,
I mean, at least they could have, at the very least, be like, yo, we set up an affiliate link. You get.
That was the other thing, too. They were not willing to do that. Jeez. I mean, it was like, and I have affiliate deals with a few companies now. Nike's one of them. Like, if Nike's willing to do an affiliate, like, I don't know. It is what it is.
I'm sorry. Hopefully I didn't bring up any, like,
PTSD. No, I've talked about it on our podcast and stuff. It's more of like, on this creator journey, there's different things that happen and you learn from and change processes going forward. And maybe I wasn't the easiest to work with. I think I was. I seem like I'm trying to be the best I can and help them out as much as I can. And hopefully it's a mutual relationship, but that's just part of the journey is you learn, go on to the next company. Hopefully you can do it better with them. I mean, a lot of companies I started working with, I'm not working with anymore, but things change. I mean, that's just part of it.
Yeah. It's business. I mean, that's totally, yeah. I was going to say the nature of the business, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Where does your, cause you talked a little bit about your hustle, but where did you learn your hustle from?
Probably my parents. Mm-hmm. My dad big time. I mean, my dad was, he's a loan officer. So when the housing crisis goes into effect, he loses all his business.
And yeah.
That's how it is right now. I mean, rates are super high. People are buying houses. There's no business when it's business, when the rates are good and people are buying houses, it's really good. But that's just the nature of the business. So, I mean, my dad, it taught me to take care of what I have and to do everything I can to expand what I know and income and stuff like that. And I mean, he, like growing up, I mean, he was driving, like we never had fancy cars or anything, but he had this 2001 Grand Prix that took care of like crazy. He had it for about 15 years. It had 420,000 miles when he got rid of it. Like, still running. Like, I mean, that's crazy. Like 400,000 miles on a car is nuts.
That check oil light was on for like the last 150
miles. Was never on. I mean, the air conditioning didn't work. The windows didn't work. Like, it drove though. Like, it took care of it. And like, rust would come up. You'd put rubber spray. Like, it looked good for 400,000 miles, but it was just something like, I remember the transmission went out when it had like 200,000 miles or 220,000 miles. And he was like, I'm going to spend $3,000 and fix the transmission. Cause he's like, I know I've taken care of this car. Like, I know it can go another 200,000. I remember it was like, this is crazy. And then it did. And it went for another 10 years. And that was just like something I'll never forget. And to take the hustle and the work ethic that he had, I mean, every penny went to us growing up. And I mean, they took care of us more than anybody. I'm super grateful for the family that I have. Mm-hmm. And so I think my dad, just the work ethic that he had, and our house is always clean. He always took care of everything. And when you work hard for something, you take care of it and you try to progress it. And honestly, I think it's just my dad and my parents got that hustle from.
No, I love it. I love it. I love hearing that because, you know, I think we live in an era where it's hard to find a lot of people that are hustling, right? Like usually a lot of the people that are hustling are very camera face forward, right? They think, which I also think is like a detriment too, because now that we're so social media savvy, you know, we've all learned how to like put the highlights, only the highlights, and never the downfalls, never to show like we're persevering through the ups and downs, right? Everything is all up, right? So it gives off this facade to everybody that like, oh, I can't struggle with something else. I can't show when the engine goes bad and I have to fix it. I can't show when the rust is here and I have to, you know, put this on display or for a little bit so I can, you know, get to the next, you know, destination and stuff like that. Like it's a lot of that I feel like is lost, you know, but
when I'm a victim to it too. I mean, what I put out, it's part of my game is trying to make the highest quality, most perfect video in my mind, just because I like that side of it. And I don't post when, I mean, I maybe a story post, but like shoes are dirty, like camera stopped working. Like, I mean, I'm victim to it too. I mean, everyone goes.
No, but these listen to your podcast. You talk about your podcast.
I think that's part of it where started the podcast with Seth. So we can just dump our thoughts, because when we post a short form video once a day or whatever it is, and who cares? I mean, nobody cares, really. I mean, if I don't post a video, I mean, go to the next person. I mean, it is what it is. There's a community there, but also it's like, who gives a shit, kind of? Excuse my language, but
no, you're good.
I mean, it was just like, we started the podcast so we could just voice our thoughts about shoes and everything like that. And it's, I mean, there's a lot going on in life. I mean, Seth and I both have jobs. You have a job. I mean, that's like, you can talk about it for an hour once a week, like, Kanye West sucks, like we don't like it, but like I'm not making a direct video talking about that, like certain stuff like that. So I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, everyone goes through stuff and social media is tough because nobody shows it. I mean, that's part of it, but I don't know. I mean, it's just.
It's no, weird. But you keep. I feel like you keep it real and.
I try to.
Yeah, I think it's that aspect of like, there are some people that only want to show the highlights, right? And I'm a big yep. fan of like, you know, give me everything, give me the warts and all. Like, you know, I want to be that person. Like in your comments when you are having a down day, it'd be like, yo, man, you got this. Just push through. Like, give that opportunity, and I feel like it's a lot more rewarding than people may think because nobody's.
And no, I love it. I mean, yeah. I'm rethinking content and stuff for the next couple of weeks already. I mean, that's how I can switch it up and be more myself. I mean, there is some sort of persona when you're online. I mean, you can. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can go from this or hey, we got new shoes dropping this week. Like, here's all the shoes dropping this week. Like, you can. I'm pretty mellow tone. Like, I'm pretty baseline. I'm not like a super high low person. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just I always try to be authentic on socials. I mean, I. Try to be humble. I mean, when I get packages from Champ Sports all the time, I mean, I'm over the moon about it. I might not seem like it, but like free shoes and stuff like that is insane to me. And I talk to my wife about it every day, but you just don't voice it on socials. But I mean, that's part of the game, I guess. I mean, just when buying $100 pair of shoes is a lot too. There's free shoes coming in the mail every day
yeah.
from different companies and reviewing them. I'll never lose sight of where it started, because once you start losing sight of it, then you get to the point where it's like everything's perfect, life's great, mm-hmm. like send me more stuff, pay me, give me more money, like it gets out of hand. So
no, yeah,
that's something my parents taught me too. That's like when Champ Sports sends me stuff and I post it to my story, like thank you, like that's crazy to me. Like I tell my wife that all the time, like it's insane that I'm just getting free product and stuff. And I mean, that's just something I don't ever want to lose sight of, because you just keep progressing, like you almost expect it. Like all the Anthony Edwards shoes, like I've been very fortunate enough to have a connection at Champ Sports where they mm-hmm. hooked me up with them. But I don't want to get to the point where I'm like, oh, I didn't get this pair. Like, what the hell? Like, why am I not getting them? Like,
yeah.
So it's tricky with it, but it's just you got to keep level headed with socials.
No, for sure. I mean, now I'm actually starting to get some stuff, and it's a little bit like.
You know. Love it. That's the funnest thing. There's nothing better than that when you go from buying the shoes to review or talking about them all the time. You're grinding after work, posting mm-hmm. videos, podcasts, and like somebody notices.
Yeah, it's I'm still trying to deal with like people saying they listen to my podcast, right? Because isn't that
crazy too?
Yeah, it's and I'm sorry for my listeners, but like it's like it doesn't connect with me in my head of like, yo, you're not just doing this for yourself right now. And
a total disconnect yeah. when you're posting stuff online, because mm-hmm. you get numbers like everyone. You could post a video and get 100 million views, 1 million views, 1,000 views. I mean, that's a single person per view, and like connect that mentally is very hard. Because if I go in speech class in college, like couldn't talk to 30 people in the class. Mm-hmm. Like I suck at public speaking, but then I go and do it on a video and million people might see it. There's a total disconnect. So when we get DMs like, hey, you listen to the podcast, like Seth and I are almost just like, we're just chatting for an hour once a week. Like you get somebody like, oh, I listen, that's like, whoa, people listen to this, like what?
Oh man, I got a question, because I've been thinking about this whole week. You know, there's mm-hmm. overall there's a lot of content creators, and I'm a big, like, I always tell people don't start a podcast. I've been telling people stop starting podcasts for a while but it's like,
got out of hand there a little bit.
It is a lot. And a lot of them started in the pandemic and just died off. Cause the thing is, this is such a big undertaking. I think people think, oh, we just need mics and a camera, we're good to go. Right. But my thing is I don't call myself a content creator because I don't feel like I make the content. Like I'm not a consistent content maker, right?
I would call you that. It's like, I don't call myself an influencer when people yeah. say like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, I'm a content creator. Like that's like, but like, I mean, I am an influencer. I don't like the term. You don't like the term yeah. content creator. Like you are. Like that's just part of it. But no, I get what you're saying.
I feel like it's like when people ask me what I think a sneakerhead really is, and I give them my honest opinion of who I consider a sneakerhead or who I consider sneakerheads. Mm-hmm. And It's like that I battle that. So like if I don't feel like I fit within the parameters, or I don't live up to the expectations of what that quote unquote title is, then I kind of just don't. I just be like, I'm not part of that.
Fair
like,
enough.
You know, but fine. For the sake of this, we're content creators, right? Do you feel that competition is good or bad for it? Because we were talking about Anthony Edwards. We're talking about competition. Yep. I wanted to full circle that.
So I am probably unique with it. I've never been a person that maybe internally, I think, get jealous. I mean, everyone does. You think, why am I not getting this? Why am like Seth going to the All-Star game? I was internally, I was a little bit like, why am I not going? I don't want to go. But really, like, when you really think about it, and I'm a Christian man, like I'm very rooted in faith, and I'm very that way. And when I think about it, I'm like, there's plenty to go around. Everyone can win. And this is really how I think. After, you might get jealous thoughts, whatever. Competition, like, why are they getting a million views? Like, I hate that. Like, that's my video, or that's my font style, or that's my song that I just used yesterday, or whatever the case. And now they're doing the same thing, or you're starting a podcast. We already have a sneaker podcast. Like, Complex is probably thinking that about us. Like, in my mind, competition's good. Seth and I have very similar content styles. Quite frankly, he's doing better than me right now. I mean, the numbers are up. I could care less, because we're very close buddies. He came to my wedding. We're good friends. We talk all the time about it. I'll tell you, it's so much better going through all this content stuff with somebody else doing the exact same thing than not doing it. So I'm open to competition. When Seth's doing video stuff that's doing better than me, it opens my mind. I'm like, why am I not getting this viewership? And so then it makes me get more creative with it and makes me rethink what I'm doing. Ultimately, I'm learning more how to use a camera more, doing different things. And if I look at my content a year ago versus now, I'm like, holy shit, like this is way better. And so I've always been open to competition. The big thing that you're not going to kill me with is consistency. I've outlasted a lot of people in the space, and I will continue to outlast people in the space, regardless of if they blow up super big or not. I'm going to be a big one that I think of, like, is the sneaker channel. They went crazy for a year, and I wish they would come back, and they blew by me, and then
the sneaker stopped posting. Channel. I'm trying to remember who that is.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Is it the dude with the crazy glasses? That guy?
Bingo. Yep.
There we go. Yeah.
Yep, with the toxin.
I think he switched his content. Didn't he switch his content?
I would have to look. I got to look after this now. But, I mean, that's one thing. It's like, whether you're doing it better or worse than me, I'm always going to keep doing it until the day I don't see an end in sight. I prepare for an end in sight on the content. Like, it could go all black tomorrow and it's over. But and that's fine. But I'm just going to keep doing it, keep chugging along, and I kind of play the turtle game with it. So the competition in my mind is good. I'm open to it. I like it. I like seeing other people succeed too. So
yeah. So this is like, I'm basing this off of a recent tweet I saw that somebody, you know, because now in the sneaker community, I mean, one thing about me, I'm, I don't know if anybody notices, but I'm more of a watcher than a reactionary person. So like, I like to see things first, right? And then I have formulate my own opinions, but I don't necessarily put them out there on a consistent basis. Like, I've been trying to dabble it here and there. But the idea of like competition, when it's pushing, when it's using it to push further or like create more, then I think it's more conducive or productive, right? Like, and I think that gets lost. I think that people continue to look at it as like, oh, this is a competition in terms of the negative side of like, oh, we hate each other, now I hate you, and then I don't want to talk to Seth anymore. Like, that's like, you know, that's you know,
and that, but very like, well could have happened too. Yeah. If I was like, Kyle, Seth, you're copying my video style, like I'm pissed, like I don't want to talk to you, like or Chance or Gigamus. I mean, when we were doing it at the beginning, like, they're some of my best friends now because I did not do that side of it.
Right.
And I'm very thankful I didn't, because then it would just be me. I might be a little bit bigger, but who cares?
It's funny because like I'm big on building community, and Seth brought me in with those guys, like, and we all talked and stuff like that. So it's interesting because he comes from the mind of let's build and I want to help you get better, and he doesn't see competition. I don't think he sees competition, but it's wild because he's really good at what he does, and then he'll give you all the tips if you just ask. And for me, if you ask me, like, how do you do a podcast or something like that, I'm gonna just be like, you just gotta figure it out. I'll be honest.
There's levels to it. I think that if it's some random person coming in his DMs, and this is the same with me, and just say, what camera do you use? How do you edit this, that, this? I'm out. Mm-hmm. But if you're showing love, you're like supporting, doing that, we build a relationship. Followed you, like, I know you listen to the podcast. Like, I'm game. Like, I'm all in. Seth is too. Like, there's plenty to go around. And so I think part of it's that. But yeah, I mean, Seth's the best. Nothing negative I can say about him, that's for sure.
This is a Seth appreciation podcast.
We got to have him listen to this for sure.
Oh, he listens. I know he listens. Yeah. But I'm also, like, you know, I don't know, this may be a hard question, but, you know, sneakers and the way it works on the internet, everybody's kind of, I always say, and I'm always straight up with people, when it comes to a passion, people take it personal. And, you know, has there been an adverse reaction to you creating sneaker content? And, like, is it a lot of, like, oh, people not understanding how inquisitive you are of just of a sneaker? Or is it just very just like, you don't know what you're talking about, get out of here, and then that's it? You know what I mean?
I think at the beginning there was some of that, just because I'm a very new person to collecting shoes. When I was starting off, that was literally that. When I was a year into content, I was a year into collecting shoes. And so there was definitely some of that, especially with TikTok and COVID, and there was just a lot of people getting into sneakers but not really into sneakers, where I was very interested in the history and basketball side of it and learning about Jordan 4s and 89 and like everything, all the OG colorways, like 85s are, like, I have a pair of 85, like, I love that side of it. So when I was starting off, there was a lot of it, and it's easy to pick on the small person too when I had lower numbers. And that was just kind of part of it. I've always blocked it out. Friends and family have never had backlash or anything. Maybe be behind the scenes friends and stuff in college, but I could care less. I mean, now it's like I'm sure they're kicking themselves for it. I mean, I have some good friends, some really close friends and family. I'm married, my wife's my biggest supporter, and so I internally, if it's online, I could really care less, good or bad. Good, I try to reply to. Bad, I don't really care for. I mean, when you're posting content, you're going to get a lot of negative reactions to it, especially with OGs and sneakerheads and stuff like that. I mean, there's stuff like that, but just block it out. I mean, I really have not gotten hate and, like, true hate years. I mean, at the beginning, just, you don't know what you're talking about. You're too new to this. But that was kind of the angle of my content, too, was, hey, I'm new to this. There's also millions and millions of people that are new to this over COVID. Like, kind of follow me on my journey of reselling. And that was kind of the angle that I took at the beginning. I didn't know anything. I put it out there. I didn't know anything. And so, I mean, at the beginning, maybe, but nothing really recently.
No, I really enjoy that because, you know, sneakerheads or sneaker people who cherish this or whatever, they really are quick to just talk about how we shouldn't be accepting of everybody in the sneaker, like, into sneakers. And, like, I always call them, like, old head tendencies. I have my moments of that. Like, but my biggest thing is, like, if you show that you appreciate this, then I appreciate you. Right. And I think that goes with anything, that if you just have been doing something for super long, nobody's going to be on the same level as somebody who's been collecting for 7 years. Yeah.
People that have been in it for longer than you. You're never going to be number one in it. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the humility behind that and acceptance of that is something that we need to see more of, versus somebody just being so adverse to somebody who's new to this and being 100%. Dismissive. Yeah, being dismissive. Once you're dismissive, then people start being like, "Oh, sneakers is gatekeep. People are gatekeeping sneakers," and you're just like, "Now you're giving us the it's people no fun, who are accepting." Yeah, the people who are accepting of everybody a bad rap now. You know.
Well, so. If nobody else new joins, it's gonna slowly fizzle off. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. If there's not. I mean, the world we live in, it's capitalistic, it's progressive minded, it's there's always innovation, and if there's no new people joining, it's like the news. Like only boomers watch the news and it's gonna slowly fade off. Like we have social media now, it's different. But if there's nobody else coming into it, it's gonna slowly fade off. But if sneakers, if nobody joins it, it's just a bunch of 40, 50 year olds that bought Jordan 1s back in the day, it's gonna slowly fade out. So got to have new people in it for sure.
Facts. All right. So my last question deals with a little bit of visualization. Let's use the what the fours that you got, because those were actually instead of the Jewel Air Force ones. Yep. So I want you to think back to when you're just about to buy those sneakers. I know it's not 10 years ago. I know it's like, so now you're you before, wait, now you're you. Behind yourself, what would you tell your four-year-old younger self, your four-year-ago younger self?
I would say, I don't know. I mean, in terms of the shoes, I'm happy with them. I still got them. Maybe take the crease protectors out. Crease protectors, I had them at the time. And they were very uncomfortable. I'd say take them out and just wear them. Probably what I'd say.
Was this like everybody's not creasing their sneakers. There's got to be a way. Like, what was the logic? Well,
they actually came with, I got them off of Mercari because I was doing a lot of reselling in them, so I got them in and verified them. They actually came with crease protectors, and so I left them in. I was like, ooh, this, like, they don't crease up. Like, I took care of those, and I still do. I mean, they're pristine for being used already. And, I'm such in the boat of, I mean, even the wear tests and stuff. And it's probably partly because I have a lot of shoes now. I'm very fortunate to have a lot of different shoes, and, like, I can beat up a pair and be okay with it. But I would say just you can always clean shoes. I've seen some crazy restorations from the friends over at Rejuvenator, like my Haritos SBs and the Jordan 4 SBs, like in the wear test. They went through hell and back and they came out just fine. And so I would say just regardless of if the value, rarity is a little different if it's limited or something like that. But I mean, if it's a pair that you like, wear it. You could die tomorrow and you never wore them and you just looked at them. So I would say take the crease protectors out of those bad boys and just wear them.
Yeah,
which I ended up doing. I don't have crease protectors
anymore. I'm gonna go to your house. I'll be like, I'm gonna make a video. I'll be like, no, he's lying. Crease protectors are here. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you for jumping on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and for everybody out there, you know what we say each week, wear your kicks. Peace.